Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks so much for joining me for episode 360 of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. Hope you are having a wonderful week and start of the new year, which is actually, I guess, now a month old. So hopefully you are getting ready to enjoy a February. I wanted to talk this week about the question of where do you put your time? How do you put your time in your photography? How do you deal with time in your photography? And I think it's an interesting thing for you to consider as you examine what your work is about. Not the subject matter subject to the photographs, but what your approach to your photography is about. Because how we spend our time, which is actually the only real commodity we have. I mean, money comes and goes, but time is finite. It's one of the few things we actually truly run out of. I mean, at some point, we all run out of time. So in terms of thinking about how do we use and put in our time as it relates to our photography. So not your time around working out or eating or work or play or family time, but just narrow the scope of this thinking in your head, the feeling in your gut about how you approach your photography. And I think the more honest you are with yourself in this mental exercise, I think the better off you're going to find some interesting opportunities for you to take some steps forward in your photography. When we think about photography, when we think about approaching photography, there's a lot of ways we can spend our time approaching the work we create. We could spend time planning our shoots. We could spend time going out and figuring out what we're going to need, what equipment we're going to need, what route we're going to take. Do we need support? Do we need models? Do we need certain weather conditions? Do we need a certain time of year? Do we need the sun position? There's all sorts of things we can plan. We can even plan down to f-stops and shutter speeds. We can really dive deep into thinking about what this image should look like or how should it appear and what the shoot should look like and how the shoot should happen. Now, planning doesn't always come to fruition, but we could spend a lot of time in our planning. Sort of at the same time, we could spend a lot of time daydreaming. We could spend a lot of time just sort of meandering in our head, dealing with thoughts of happy times, making photographs, creating photographs, working with photographs. Not really in the planning phase so much, but really just kind of more like a bee or a butterfly going from flower to flower. It's a fun exercise. It allows us to kind of immerse ourselves in a little bit of fantasy, thinking about what kind of great things might happen. So that's a way to spend time. We could spend time reading about equipment that we yearn for, long for, desire. We could spend time watching YouTube videos or Vimeo videos or whatever we're watching to learn about photography. We could spend a lot of time learning about Photoshop techniques or Lightroom techniques. There's all sorts of ways we could spend time before we've even picked up the camera. Then there is the actual picking up of the camera and the shooting of the photographs. We actually pick up the camera. We actually make the photographs. We go out into the field or into our studio or into our house or wherever we're going to make the photographs, and we actually spend time looking through the viewfinder and depressing the shutter. We actually literally make the photograph. And how much time of your entire photographic process is dedicated to the creating of the images, the crafting of the actual tangible thing that we would consider the photograph? My guess is you probably spend less time shooting and more time daydreaming, planning, and the stuff on the front side. If I was just going to make a wild swag across most people, I'd say shooting is probably less. We have organizing and processing of images. So when we get back, we've got to either develop film, we've got to ingest images, we've got to sort the images, we've got to get labels on them, we've got to decide what's a keeper, what's not a keeper, we've got a keyword. We've got to then spend time actually processing, going in and adjusting exposure and color and crops and vignettes and maybe compositing images or stitching images together, whatever is our fancy for whatever we're doing photographically. Pulling that stuff together is part of the process. It's an area we can spend time on. We can spend time editing, and editing is different than processing. Editing is the selection of the images that we're going to include in a folio or a complete box of work or a book or a show or put onto a website or share on Instagram. It's the culling of the images. Along with editing, there's sequencing, the order things are going to go in. How are we going to make them appear or disappear? in some cases where we don't want people to ever see that photograph again. But how do we spend time in that editing and sequencing work? And then we actually have the viewing of images. So the time spent actually looking at either our own images or the images of some other photographer. Maybe we spend a lot of time looking at books or slideshows or videos or things online where we appreciate and enjoy what those various elements of somebody else's photography is. And I'm sure there's lots of other little nooks and crannies in there for spending time photographically. The one other big one that I kind of had, which is not necessarily spent time photographically, but I do think a lot of us sometimes spend a lot of time in a point of presence where we're spending time not doing anything photographically, but yearning for the doing of something photographically. For whatever reason, we've decided that we're not going to be able to successfully make photographs, pick up a camera, shoot a camera, edit a photograph. We just can't get ourselves properly motivated. So that inner critic that prevents us from doing the creative act that we're so interested in sometimes is a time-consuming element. I put it aside, even though it's probably for some of us at certain times in our lives, 100% of the time we spend photographically is in that little dark closeted room where there doesn't seem to be any way out to assess and grab the camera. So those are kind of, like I said, those are some of the big buckets I've got. I've got the planning slash kind of thinking about photography, the learning education side. We've got shooting, process, organizing, processing, editing, sequencing, and viewing of images. One of the things that I think would be is interesting, and I think it's one of the things that as the new year sort of came around and as I was reassessing a lot of things about photography and different elements of life, I was trying to think about, you know, how is it and what is it that I could do to make myself a better photographer in 2022 and not wishing to be a better photographer and not thinking about skills that I needed, but what is in my sort of grasp that I could get a hold of that would make me emotionally feel like I was a better photographer, a stronger photographer in 2022. And that's where spending time in these buckets really started to help me assess where am I overweighted in one bucket and underweighted in another bucket. I realize that in many ways I'm underweighted in the shooting bucket. I don't spend enough time out shooting. I spend a lot of time in the planning, processing, editing realm and figuring out images. And when I have my little projects that I'm working on, I go out and work on my little projects. But more time behind the camera is really where the ultimate piece of feedback from all of the other elements comes into play. All of the learning I got from processing, editing, viewing, and planning, the execution of all that is actually in the shooting phase. And so spending more time in shooting and say less time in planning, processing would in fact result in me having a much stronger experience with my photography. Now, somebody else might be the exact opposite. They might shoot all the time and have a ton of shooting. They may shoot forever, all the time. Every day they're out making thousands of photographs. But yet they've spent no time in the editing and sequencing bucket. They've spent no time going through and figuring out and selecting what are the better images, what are the more compelling images, what are the more interesting images from a narrative standpoint. And then how do they go out and make sure that when they're shooting, they're being more successful at getting images of interest rather than just clicking the shutter thousands and thousands of times. So I think for each of us, we might find if we draw out a little pie chart, we end up with different wedges with different amounts of time. I don't think there necessarily needs to be a balance. I'm not saying every bucket needs to be an equally weighted amount. Some people are not planners. I am not what I would consider the greatest of planners. I'm going to go up and be photographing the snow geese, which will kind of live up in the Skagit Valley this time of year. I'm going to go up and photograph the snow geese. My plan for photographing the snow geese is I'm going up to photograph the snow geese. I roughly know the four or five places I want to go, but it's sort of just out and about, see what happens. When I go to the Olympics to photograph my big trees and ferns, go to the Olympic National Park, I roughly know which parking lot I want to park in and approximately how far I'm willing to hike that day. That's about the extent of my kind of planning. Now, if I'm going to the Southwest and I want to do night photography, of course, I'm trying to coordinate my trip to the new moon. What place do I want to be? Who has dark skies? But in my local photography, because I know the area so well, not a lot of time is spent in planning. So I think there's an opportunity for some variance there, some shifts in there. But as we look at the overall puzzle, as we look at the overall pie, not puzzle, we look at the overall pie chart, I think in recognizing that if we're super weighted, we're 50% of our time or 60, 70% of our time is split across one or two categories, that we're not in a place to really be holistically successful in our photography, holistically approaching our work in a meaningful way so that we're basically getting the benefit of the learning that happens at all of the phases, all of the different stages of the photography. I also think it's a really interesting opportunity that when we're looking at somebody else's work and when we're critiquing somebody else's work, to ask them this very question in terms of planning, shooting, culling, processing, editing, sequencing, and viewing images, where do you spend the most of your time? Because my guess is we can start to identify areas of strength and areas for improvement in looking at somebody else's work if we understand where do they weight their effort? Where do they spend most of their time thinking about things? If they're an over-planner and an under-processor, maybe that's an opportunity in their critique to say, hey, maybe instead of thinking so much about where to make the photograph, you should spend a little more time figuring out how to actually process the photograph so that it communicates the message you want to say and the intention you have for that. So I think it's an interesting opportunity to come back and look at a number of different ways, not just from our own growth, but from the growth of other photographers. Hope you have a wonderful week this week. Thanks again so much for tuning into the podcast. I really do appreciate you listening and taking the time out of your very busy week to listen to me ramble on about different ways of approaching the time you put into your photography. So I really do appreciate that. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.